join us. Here we go.
I stand upon, stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages, and safe within his shelter I will be. The winds may blow, winds may blow, and the angry storm around me rages. Upon this rock, this solid rock of ages, I shall stand.
Good morning, 12th Street. You may be seated. It is great to see you out this morning. And I'm glad that as we meet this morning, we have the solid rock of ages, right? Amen. That we stand on him. And this morning, as I was teaching the 12 things about 12th Street class, we are on week number 8. And we went through what we believe is a church and all of the essentials of our faith, the things that if you change any of them, it changes the gospel, and it changes our eternity. And so as we talked about these things, I thought, you know what? These are built on the rock of truth. And I'm glad that we can have that truth, that God has given it to us. Well, we're glad to have you here this morning. And if you'll take your bulletin, we have several announcements to go through. And first of all, we yesterday had a whole bunch of people that went to Shipshawana. And I heard it was a great trip, even though it was eventful. Praise the Lord that the bus was able to be repaired quickly en route, right? And that we had people on board that could help do that. Also, yesterday we had a funeral here, and I want to say a big thank you to everybody who helped with the funeral dinner. If you could just stand up, because you did a spectacular job, and thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. Also, we got our basketball hoops. We have all four of the hoops are up for upward, and there's still some work that needs to be done, but I want to say thank you to everybody who helped put those hoops up, and appreciate all the work that you did as well. We have our Christmas shoe boxes that on November 20th, they need to be done. So if you want more information about how the Christmas shoe boxes work, here's what happens with those. We fill them up with gifts. They get sent overseas, and a track with the language of the people that it gets sent to gets put in each box. And as they get handed out, the people who do the distribution, they share the gospel with the kids. This is an awesome opportunity for worldwide evangelism. And so, if you would like to help with that, make sure that you read the information in the bulletin. We'd like to collect as many boxes as we could and get those sent out. And so make sure that you're a part of that. Also, we have the Operation Good Cheer. It's a partnership that we're doing with Bethany Christian Services. And we are delivering Christmas care packages to 12 families in Kalamazoo between December 6th and December 20th. And if you're interested in helping to deliver those packages, you don't really have to say much other than Merry Christmas, okay? And but if you'd like to talk with them, I'm sure that the families would love to talk with you. But those are, we have a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center if you'd like to help with that. I've received several pictures for the Christmas series that's coming up, but if you have an awkward family photo or just a really cute Christmas photo, we could use that for the upcoming series, so if you could get those turned in. On November 17th, the Rickman House, we're serving chili, and if you'd like to help serve the people there, then you can see Krista Asher, and there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center if you could help with that. We've had several people ask about, is there anything we can do with the tragedy that happened in Sutherland Springs? And so a really great idea that was brought up is, how about just everybody in our church, let them know that we're praying for them there. And so there's a card at the Welcome Center. So if you'd like to just sign that card and let the church there know that we're praying for them, you can go ahead and sign that card at the Welcome Center, and that will be getting sent out this week. And then that also brings up the question, what about security? All right, I'm not going to give you all the details right now of our security, but I guarantee you this. We have some good security measures in place here at 12th Street. We've thought about this a long time ago, and it's nice to have some people in our church that are equipped and have some knowledge to help with that. And if you ever have any questions, you can see one of the deacons or you can come talk to me about the security measures. Just so you know, if a shooter were to come in, duck, get down, try to protect yourself. And we do have people that are armed and are in places where a gunman would not know where they are, that hopefully nobody would be hurt. And we don't live in fear of those things, right? But we are prepared, okay? And so I just want to let you know that we are prepared. On Tuesday mornings, we're doing a study through the book of Revelation from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 2 hours, and it's a fast 2 hours. At least for me, it is. It's a fast 2 hours, but if you have the time to come out to that, I'm sure that you would be blessed. Upward Basketball is in full swing for registration, and if you would like to sponsor one of the children, we have a few children that are associated with our church. We don't offer scholarships to people in the community. It'd just be way too much. But if you'd like to help with the sponsorship of a couple of those kids, then just go ahead and see Kevin Powell, Mike Kaler, or Cheryl Campbell, and they'll help you with knowing how you can help with that sponsorship. And then on December 5th, we're hosting a dinner here, a holiday banquet at the church. We don't have to provide the servers for this. They're using our facility. But if you would like to help serve, then that would be, it'd just be a great way for you to serve with no benefit for you other than to just serve the least of these. And so if you would like to help serve that, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center for that. There's a lot more announcements there. On November 19th, there's a special movie showing here at the church, The Case for Christ, if you'd like to see that. And just a lot more things that you can see in your bulletin. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of the things that you do for us on a daily basis. And if it were not for your goodness, if it were not for your grace, and if it were not for your truth, we would be a people who wander aimlessly through life. But Lord, because of who you are and what you give to us, we have confidence. We have security in this life. I thank you that we don't stand on shifting sand. We stand on a solid rock of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we meet here today, we thank you for all of the blessings that you give to us. We also thank you, Lord, for the way that you have protected us, the way that you provide health and help. And Lord, we do pray for those who are hurting, Lord, especially those associated with the church down in Texas. And we do pray for the First Baptist Church there in Sutherland that you would give them strength and grace as they, today cannot be an easy day for the church as they meet. And we thank you, Lord, that you will provide that grace and that strength to them. We do, Lord, as we meet, we expect to hear from you. And so I pray that your Spirit would meet with us in a very special way. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And as we lift our praises to you, as we give to you, as we fellowship with each other in response to the common truth that you've given to us, we just pray that you would be pleased in all of these things. For it's your glory that we seek. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Mighty to Save. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Majesty. majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah.
Father, we come before you today, Lord. We just want to celebrate how great you are. Father, we just want you to pour out your spirit on this place and on our pastor as he brings a message this morning. Father, we just want to feel your presence in this place. Lord, we just pray you forgive us if we fail you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have the ushers come forward?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for letting us come and worship you and to glorify you. And Lord, we just ask that you bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be all right. And Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days are not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low. He says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing. Oh, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Heaven to search out us. Before we dismiss the children, everybody stay tight for just a second. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I think it's very appropriate for us as a church to honor all those who have served in the military. And so if you served in one of the branches of the military, and We would like to honor you right now. So if you could just stand up, and we're going to do two things. We're going to clap and we're going to pray. So if you served in the armed forces, would you just stand up? Thank you for your service. And if you could keep standing, we're going to pray and I'm going to thank God for you, but also we want to pray for the men and women who are serving right now. There are some areas where there are some severe tensions, and I think we need to say some prayers for those who are protecting our freedoms. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these men and women who have served in the military, defending the freedoms that we have here in the United States. I thank you, Lord, for the selflessness it takes to serve your country. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we say thank you to them, that they would know that we appreciate and we don't fully understand, but we can definitely say thank you for what you have done in serving. And also, Lord, we pray for those right now who are still standing between us and evil. I thank you, Lord, for those who every day are willing to enter into combat to maintain the freedoms that we have. And one of those freedoms is going to be expressed in just a moment as we talk about your wonderful word and preach about Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I thank you that there are those who stand and provide those freedoms for us. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. All right, at this time, we will dismiss our children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah. I had a college professor say this one time in a joke, and it's ruined my thinking on this forever. Nehemiah is the second shortest man in the Bible. He was Nehemiah. Only taller than Bildad, who was the Shuhite. I know, it's really bad, but it still sticks in my mind. There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a little boy, and a pastor who were out on a Sunday afternoon flight on a small private plane. Suddenly, the plane developed engine trouble, and in spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down, and finally, the pilot grabbed a parachute, yelled to the passengers that they'd better jump, and he bailed out. Unfortunately, there were only three parachutes remaining. The doctor grabbed one and said, "I'm a doctor. I save lives and I must live," and he jumped out. The lawyer then said, "I'm a lawyer. Lawyers are the smartest people in the world. I deserve to live." He also grabbed a parachute and jumped. The pastor looked at the little boy and said, "My son, I've lived a long and full life. You are young and you have your whole life ahead of you. Serve God with your life. Take the last parachute and live." The little boy handed the parachute back to the pastor and said, "Not to worry, sir. The smartest man in the world grabbed my backpack." This morning, we are going to look at Thanksgiving in worship. You see, sometimes we think of Thanksgiving and we think of food, right? We think of Thanksgiving and what jumps into our mind is we just think about an attitude. You see, Thanksgiving should be expressed in different ways. You know, every Sunday when we sing, we are offering Thanksgiving. Whether you think about it or not, that's really what we're doing. We're offering Thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us. And so this morning, through the book of Nehemiah, we're going to look at this wonderful idea of Thanksgiving in worship. And as we think about worship, usually our minds jump to songs, right? Well, there was an old farmer who went to the city one weekend and attended a big city church. He came home and his wife asked him how it was. "Well," said the farmer, "it was good. They did something different, however. They sang praise choruses instead of hymns." "Praise choruses?" asked his wife. "What are those?" "Oh, they're okay. They're sort of like hymns, only different," said the farmer. "Well, what's the difference?" asked his wife. The farmer said, "Well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, 'Martha, the cows are in the corn,' well, that would be a hymn. If, on the other hand, I were to say to you, 'Martha, Martha, Martha. Oh, Martha. Martha, Martha. The cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows. The cows, cows, cows are in the corn, are in the corn, are in the corn. In the corn, 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 corn. Then if I were to repeat the whole thing again two or three times, that would be a praise chorus. As luck would have it, the exact same Sunday, a young new Christian from the city church attended the small town church. He came home and his wife asked him how it was. Well, said the young man, it was good. They did something different, however. They sang hymns instead of regular songs. Hymns, asked the wife, what are those? They're okay. They're sort of like regular songs, only different. Well, what's the difference? Asked the wife. The young man said, well, it's like this. If I were to say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a regular song. If on the other hand I were to say to you, O Martha, dear Martha, hear thou my cry, inclinest thy ear to the words of my mouth, turn thou thy whole wondrous ear by and by to the righteous, glorious truth for the way of the animals who can explain. There in their heads is no shadow of sense. Hearkenest they in God's Son or his reign, unless from the mild, tempting corn they are fenced. Yea, those clouds and glad bovine, rebellious delight, have broke free their shackles, their warm pens eschewed, then goaded by minions of darkness and night, they all my mild Chilliwack sweet corn chewed. So look to that bright shining day by and by, where all foul corruptions of earth are reborn, where no vicious animal makes my soul cry, and I no longer see those foul cows in the corn. Then, if I were to do only verses 1 and 3 and 4 and change the key on the last verse, well, that would be a hymn. All right. You know what the truth is? It doesn't matter whether we're singing hymn or singing a praise chorus. It's not about what we're doing. It's about who we're doing it to. Thanksgiving in worship is the only proper heart in worship. You see, if I can live in a difficult situation, and in my worship, and worship isn't just in singing, worship is in every way, every day, every way that I live. It's in the way that I give to my Lord. It's in the way that I serve my Lord. It's in everything that I do. But if I have thanksgiving in it, then it will be done properly. See, in the book of Nehemiah, here's what's taking place. Nehemiah, he's been born and raised in captivity. He's heard of his home, Jerusalem. The reason he's in captivity, his grandfathers, grandparents, great-grandparents, parents didn't serve God, didn't obey God, and so God sent foreign armies to take the people out of their land, and they had to live in other lands as servants. He's the cupbearer for the king. So he's lived there long enough. He's gained enough of credibility that the king entrusted him to be the cupbearer. And as he's serving the king, he hears word that Jerusalem is in shambles. The city is a mess. Only a few people, a small remnant, still live there. The walls are broken down. The buildings are uninhabited. The city is uninhabitable because there's no defense. And he's overwhelmed with sorrow because he hates to see his homeland that way. And so the king sees him sorrowful and he says, I'm sorry, king. He says, I'm thinking about my homeland. And the king says, you know what? You can take a leave. You can go home. Search it out. See what you can do. And so Nehemiah will lead a charge to rebuild the city. And as they do this, they face so many different obstacles. There's two men named Tobiah and Sambalat. And these two men, they fight against Nehemiah and the people as they try to rebuild the city. And as they're rebuilding the city, and they face these difficulties, they have people that work and they have people that watch. I mean, it's a sad commentary that when you have to have people that watch to make sure that there's no enemy coming in to attack while your people work. But the Bible says that the people had a mind to work, and they worked. You know, and I just can't help but think on Veterans Day, I am so glad for the people that watch. You know, whether or not they're Christian, I'm glad there are people that watch for our freedoms. There are many countries where we could not sing the songs that we did this morning without fear of punishment or sanction. And we're able to sing these wonderful truths because there are people that watch. So you know what that should inspire us to do? We should want to work for the Lord. We're not encumbered like I was reading about a church in China. They did not want to register as a state church because they were restricted in some of the things that they could say. And so they were meeting in secret. And one day while they were meeting, they wanted to sing, but they couldn't sing out loud because they knew that they were being watched. And I read that and I thought, we are so spoiled here in America. We are so blessed to have the freedoms that we do. And so, if there are people that are watching out for our freedoms, let's work to make sure that those freedoms accomplish something for eternity. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 11, turn with me there. Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 17. They finished building the wall. So they've got this. The city is now fortified. They've been rebuilding several of the gates so that it's secure. Ezra is the leader of rebuilding the temple. And things are just, it's exciting because the city is returning to some normalcy. And so in Nehemiah chapter 11, it says this, and Mathaniah, and we'll just skip the rest of the names there, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer. They finished building the walls, so they are having a special service. And this guy Mathaniah, his job, he is the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. All right. Most of us are going to meet with family or meet with friends, meet with loved ones in a couple weeks for Thanksgiving. Let me encourage you to follow this example. Begin the Thanksgiving with prayer. Don't just have everybody share things that are good about their life or what they're thankful for. Begin your Thanksgiving with prayer. Now, the interesting thing here about this man, Mathaniah, he is the principal, the leader. He's the top, the captain, the chief of the band. In fact, one of the expressions that I saw in Hebrew there was, it's not just that like he's like the leader, he's the leader of the band, because through their thanksgiving, they were offering it musically. There are many different expressions of thanksgiving that they gave, one of which was through music. And it was showing worth to God for who he is and what he has done. When you think about the word worship, okay, let's retrain our minds. Here's what you need to think of when you think of the word worship. Think worth. Worship is showing worth. And so when I show worth to my TV set, I'm worshiping my TV. When I show worth to my favorite sports team, I'm worshiping my sports team. And when I show worth to God, I'm worshiping God because that's what the word worship means. To show worth to. What is the natural expression of your life? Who do you show worth to? Here, Mattaniah, his job, he is the principal, the leader of the band, in showing worth to God. And how does he begin it all? He begins it with prayer. Now let's go to chapter 12 and verse 8. It says, the Levites, and you have five of them listed with Mattaniah, Joshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Now again, we see this guy, he's over the thanksgiving. What does that mean? You've got a whole city of people that's trying to come back in and re-inhabit a desolate place. You've got a man, Nehemiah, who led the work, but he's not the leader of the thanksgiving. The leader of the thanksgiving was someone who was appointed appropriately because of his office that he had in the temple of God. Now, the wonderful thing about our life today is that we don't have to go to priests for sacrifices to be offered for us. In fact, we go boldly before the throne of grace, right? And since we go boldly before the throne of grace, in fact, in Revelation chapter 1, it says that he, that's Jesus, has made us kings and priests before our Father. We are priests before God. And so I want to encourage and challenge each one of you during this Thanksgiving to be a Mattaniah. Be someone who will take the charge, take the lead, and making sure that thanksgiving is expressed to God. Open it with prayer, but then take the lead in offering the thanksgiving. And in chapter 12, verse 8, we see this group who presided over the thanksgiving to God. And then in chapter 12 and verse 46, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. So they had chief singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving. All right, and what it's doing there, it's continuing that you have these people that are leading it. And what is the method? What is the avenue that they offered the thanksgiving? They did it through songs and through praise. Now, even if you're not the most melodically gifted individual, such as I, offer thanksgiving of praise to God through song. When we get together with Rachel's family for Thanksgiving, we spend probably 15 minutes just singing. It's really cool. Her grandfather kind of started the tradition. And so we all come together. They'll choose one person. And for many years in a row, because I'm a pastor, I got chosen to be the one to get up and pray and lead out the Thanksgiving. And then I would sit down and somebody else would come up and lead the singing. They asked me to do the singing once and they never asked me again. I can't figure that out. And her grandfather got the idea from Nehemiah. And it's such a beautiful thing every year to, as a whole family, generations, to pray together, then to reflect on all that God has done, and then to sing out praise to him. And one of our favorite songs to sing is How Great Thou Art. And that's just kind of become the staple. We before we eat, we save that one to right before we eat, and we'll sing How Great Thou Art, because it just expresses to God its thanksgiving. There are three things that happen in this passage in the hearts of the people. And Mattaniah and his group are able to accomplish this not only in their own hearts, but help lead all the people in this. And so I want you to try and capture some of the wonderful works that God was doing in the people's heart during Nehemiah's time. Usually when you hear a message on Nehemiah, it's because it's time to build something, right? Church expansion or you know, something needs to be fixed. And so, you know, you talk about what's broken and so help me build. We don't have any of that. Praise God. So why offer this? Why talk about Nehemiah now? Because we all need at Thanksgiving to be reminded of what Thanksgiving is truly to be about and how to celebrate it. So the first thing that we see in this book of Nehemiah, there was a return. In Nehemiah 9:3, it says, "And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." So, 1/4 of the day is, if you're doing a 24-hour, but I think it's talking about the daylight. So I'm gonna give us all a little break here. I think it's 3 hours. I think it's working on a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. So 3 hours, what do? They read God's word. All right, if I were to stand up here today and just start reading from God's word for 3 hours, without offering any interjections, just reading God's word, what would happen? I'd probably look up and there would be nobody here. Or everybody be asleep. Right? What has happened to us in that God's word doesn't stir us, doesn't move us, and doesn't capture us? What's happened to us? We have God's word so readily available. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're oversaturated with God's word. And we become so fat in God's word that we're not hungry for it. For 3 hours, 1/4 of the day, they just listened to God's word. And they stood up in their place. And you know what they were reading? The book of the law. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I mean, some of us, we fall asleep ourselves and by reading 2 or 3 chapters of it. But it captivated them because here was their response to it. And another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Here's what took place in Israel. They were so excited that Jerusalem was rebuilt that they couldn't get enough of hearing God's word. And when they heard it, it moved them to confess. When's the last time you confessed your sin to the Lord? When's the last time that anything about God's word moved you to offer to him an "I'm sorry," a "please forgive me," an attitude of repentance? They spent half the day in reading and confession. And part of what brought out the worship was reading God's word, confessing their sin. They naturally started to flow into bringing worth to God, which caused worship. And as they brought worth to God, they did it together as a people. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, I think it reminds us of who we are. As Jesus is talking to the church, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love." And so here's what I would encourage us to do during this time of Thanksgiving. Return to God. Maybe we just need to discipline ourselves to sit down and just read through some more scripture so that we can be disciplined enough to even just let it come in. And then we need to learn to let what we read affect us and move us. The second thing that happened in this passage is when they returned to the land, it brought a return of their hearts to God. So what did they do? Then they rebuilt. There was a rebuild that happened. You know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't say, I've got it all figured out. I'm just coasting until I die. No, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I die daily. He said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect work of will of God. There's a rebuild that needs to happen in our lives. When we return to a love for God and to his word, we need to rebuild what we're doing, how we're living. In Nehemiah 4:2, Nehemiah, he spoke before his brethren. I'm sorry, this is not Nehemiah speaking here. This is the enemy, Sambalat. He says, he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? He's mocking them, saying, they can't rebuild this city. It's impossible to rebuild the city. And maybe you look at your life and you say, you know what? I've gone so far from what I used to be for God. There's no way I can recapture that. And maybe you've drifted far enough where you're like, man, where I used to be with God, that's like an impossibility to get there. And this is what the enemies of Israel were saying. There's no way it can be rebuilt. So Nehemiah in chapter 4, verse 6, Nehemiah says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto a half thereof, and the people had a mind to work. Because let me tell you something about rebuilding your life to be where God wants it. It takes a lot of work. And there might be people that are critical of you that say, oh my goodness, you're never going to recapture that fire that you used to have. You're never going to be able to recapture that glory that God used to have with you. And you know what? That's God's will for you, to rebuild. And you can do it through the power of God. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. See, what happened is Nehemiah, he's getting excited. We built it. We set up the people, the porters, to you have gates in the city. Now you need someone to watch what's happening and open the doors when the right people are there. It's excited. So what did they do? They set up singers. What were the singers for? To bring praise to God in thanksgiving. And then the third thing that we see in this passage, that there is a revival. Now, I hate to say this, but it was a short-lived revival. Nehemiah gets everything going. They have this big celebration. He goes back to serve the king. And when he comes back, the enemies, Sambalat, who was saying all these nasty things and making fun of him and trying to stop the building and go into war, and Tobiah, his cohort in crime, the children of Israel are intermarrying with them. They're leaving the faith that God had left for them to follow. And as they're excited, they leave it all. But before they did all that, there was a revival. In Nehemiah 9:5, it says this, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. For even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. This is revival. It's when a heart says, God, all things that are happening that are good, it's from you. All things that are taking place are for your glory. And this song that's written here in Nehemiah 9, verses 5 and 6, it's kind of like an anthem of thanksgiving. And when our hearts echo the message of a song like that, then our hearts are expressing thanksgiving in worship. So let me just try to break this down a little bit further. We can just worship God. We can just show worth to Him by saying things that are prescribed for us, like when we put the words up on the wall, right? Or we can memorize something, like the Lord's Prayer, or Psalm 23, or something like that, and we can memorize something, and we can just recite that. Here's what happens in the recital of those things. The words that we're saying may look like worship, but without a heart of thanksgiving in saying those words, it might just be a recital. It might just be a blasé act, because we can say the right words without an expression of from the right heart. So when I was in college, I was playing linebacker, and there was a certain play that the coach would call where I would run from my linebacker position, and I would actually cover a wide receiver on defense. And so I had my mouthpiece in my mouth, okay, and I wore one of those big thick ones because I would bite through those things and it would hurt my teeth. And I was always hitting people I would be kicked out of every game with the new rules today, okay? Because I led with my forehead, all right? When I was little, I used to put a little helmet on that my parents gave me, and I would run into the garage door over and over again. I just liked the feeling of feeling like I was halfway there, halfway not there, okay? I probably lived in a constant state of concussion, and I loved the feeling of it. And so I wore a bandana over my forehead in college because I split my forehead open in every game, and it was terrible to have the blood dripping down into my face. And so, at least with the bandana, I'd catch the blood. So that was all right. Well, the coach called this play, and I loved it because every once in a while when I would run, the quarterback was never ready for it. And so they snap the ball, and I drop back, and I see the quarterback's looking to throw an out pattern to the receiver, and I jump right in front of it, and I intercept it. I'm on the 15-yard line. They were getting ready to score. I have 85 yards for a touchdown the other way. And I start running. I hate distance running. 40-yard dash is about all I ever wanted to run. And I had 75 yards to go. And so I'm running, and I got the ball. And I'm down. I'm on the 20-yard line, and all of a sudden I feel the quarterback jump on my back. So now I'm carrying the quarterback. And I'm on the 20-yard line, and I only have 20 yards to go, and I'm figuring I can carry him. And so I'm trying to carry him into the end zone, and I fall down on the 1-yard line. I did not get the touchdown. And I'm laying there, and I cannot breathe. So the very first thing that I do is I spit my mouthpiece out. Oh, I finally can take a breath. Unfortunately, we didn't have, we weren't, you know, a big school with a lot of money. We didn't have any oxygen on the sideline. And so I'm laying there, and I get up, and I look, and I'm 1 yard away. I didn't score. And I got my mouthpiece, and I go over to the sideline, and I'm sitting on the bench, and I can barely move. I mean, that exhausted me. The mouthpiece kept me from being able to breathe in the air that I needed to breathe in, so I could exhale the air that I needed to exhale, so my lungs could recuperate, and I could go back into the game, okay? If I would have left my mouthpiece in, it would have taken me a lot longer to recuperate. Very next play, the offense has the ball. Our offense, 1 yard to go. They should get an easy touchdown. Quarterback fumbles it. Their nose guard recovers it. Coach yells, defense! I'm not even watching. I'm like on the bench going, and now I've got to run back into the game. I've got to put the mouthpiece back in. And this is terrible. It was the worst thing ever. When we are trying to offer to God praise, when we are trying to offer to God worship, but we're not thankful, then it's like me running back out on the field. You know what I did for like 4 plays in a row? I tucked my mouthpiece in my side because I couldn't breathe. And I kept it there until I regained my breath. And they ended up going all the way down and scoring. And then the coach blamed me for not scoring the touchdown. Go figure, right? When we try to offer to God worship and praise, and we don't have the heart of thanksgiving, we're suffocating ourselves. You say, well, just the offering of praise will... Nope. When you don't have the heart of thanksgiving, the heart of thanksgiving is the grease in the wheel that allows it to spin, that allows it to come off correctly. And I want to challenge you, if you don't have the heart of thanksgiving, then you need to get the heart of thanksgiving first before you say the words of praise. The heart of thanksgiving, it greases the wheels for praise. It's the spice that allows the thanksgiving to be meaningful. In Nehemiah, the people had that for a little bit. They returned, they rebuilt, they were revived. You know, we all need seasons of these. So if you need to return today, return to God. If you need to rebuild some of the areas of your life for God, rebuild it. And if you just need to be revived, I'm going to tell you this, it's not going to happen until you have Thanksgiving. I'll close with this, so you can wake back up for just a second. I'll close with this. Job. If anybody in the Bible had an opportunity to just say, I give up, I quit, it's Job. Everything Job had was taken away from him in the span of basically 48 hours. Children, home, business. He's in the dump, scraping boils off of his body. His friends aren't even letting him come live with them because they're afraid their house is going to fall down. And all they can do is say, you need to repent. You're an evil man. And he's going, I don't know what I did. But here's the attitude that Job kept. He said, the Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His praise came from a heart of thanksgiving. He understood everything he owned before it was taken away was a gift from God. And so for God to allow it to be taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because Job understood that God is the giver. He was thankful for what he had. Now, since he lost everything, there were moments where he wanted to just die. But you know, at the very end of the book of Job, God says, Job, do you know who I am? And God asks him a series of questions that bring Job back to the thought. God is great. He's the giver of all. His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are vastly beyond our thoughts. And Job was able to worship God, to show worth to him. And he maintained a heart of thanksgiving. And in the end, God gave to Job, didn't have to give him anything, gave to him twice as much as he had before, gave him more children. God blessed him. I just want to encourage you that when you return, you rebuild, and you're revived, and you have that heart of thanksgiving, it helps you through those difficult times. And even when you feel like your circumstance has nothing for you to be thankful for, you need to find thankfulness to God. And maybe it's just as what Nehemiah 9:5 says. So stand up. So let's all stand up for a second. And bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worships you. Lord God, we want to worship you. We want to bring praise to you because you are worthy. And Lord, we do this not just from hearts that say, I have to do this, but we do this from thankful hearts that understand that as God, you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift. You are the giver and allower of every good thing that happens to us. And so, Lord, we want to lift you up and praise you. So as we close out the service and we sing to you, and we just tell you that you are a good, good Father, I pray that those thoughts, that song, it would help us to reflect out of our heart the thanksgiving that we have for you as our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that you will receive these sacrifices of praise that we offer to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't really understand what it is to be thankful to God until you've received from Him the gift of eternal life. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have questions about that, I'm going to be standing at the front. You can come and just tell me, say, Pastor Thad, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we'll have someone talk to you to help you through that. And for those of you who do know Jesus Christ, He is a good, good Father. And let's sing it out to Him.
And stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways too. It's a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Lord, we thank you that we know that you're good. We know that there are times in our life where we need the return, where we need the rebuild, and we really need the revival. And I thank you that you are the God who is always looking to meet us, to forgive us, to help us, and to allow us to serve you and please you. And so, Lord, we give all the honor and the glory and the praise to you. With hearts that are filled with thanksgiving, we sing to you, our God who stands alone as God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. And until that day that you return, we will offer from our lives, with hearts of thanksgiving, words of praise, our Lord and our God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Must have been the same key.